Hello, everybody. It is Suzanne, and I am here with another energy update, client stories that I share anonymously for others to learn from. And this one is really a bit crazy, and I'm super excited to share it. In fact, it's funny because this is a new client for me. I actually have worked remote with her once before, and then this was the first time I actually got to see her face-to-face. The remote work that I did before did not pertain to what I'm sharing today. I think she needed to actually be in front of my face to be able to share what she was experiencing to get my, literal reaction, because I think she's been really freaked out and scared of what's going on with her. And what's going on is really extremely different, I think, from what a lot of people probably encounter on a daily basis, and that's why I'm super excited to share this one. That said, I have a blog that is really quite active on my website, and it has to do with a lot of people that are struggling or encountering what we would call ascension symptoms, and a lot of people are having some pretty crazy stuff happening. And this is a client that is right in that same kind of alignment here. Crazy only in the world of 3D, by the way, because it's so adorable when somebody comes in and sees me and they're really hesitant to share what they think is really nutty stuff or really off the wall or really bizarre. And I simply sit here saying, yep, I've done that, or yep, I've seen that. Now, again, doesn't mean anybody has a better value system. It doesn't mean you're cooler or better if you have this stuff happen. And it doesn't mean you're weird and bizarre or making it up either. And that's why I think these energy updates are so incredibly fun to share, because if they resonate, super. If you're going to get anything out of it, or if you have something similar, that's awesome. And if not, just use it for entertainment value or shut it off. That's the cool part about audio casting. So anyway, this particular client is probably, midlife woman and an RN, an actual medical nurse. And that sometimes makes this stuff even harder, because we have that Western medicine background, and our logicalness in our mind kind of struggles when we have the activity of the psychic skills start to kick in and activate. And I know exactly how that feels. And this particular gal did not really have any context to even, like, pull from or compare to. So when these things started happening to her out of the blue, she really thought she was losing her marbles. So basically, this is what she told me. She told me that she would be sitting, and she continues to do this, by the way, right now, not really knowing what was happening until hopefully after we talked, it's clarity. But she would be sitting, and maybe just in her office or just in her home or whatever. And then what she said is, it's almost like the whole entire room starts to weird out of sorts, as she said. It starts to, like, change with this weird energy pattern. And then things will just, like, turn into energy signatures. And she said, amazingly, she can get so caught up in this stuff, and it's holographic imagery. It's layers and layers of different timelines. It's different people that she doesn't know. It's different scenes of those people that she has no idea what she's watching. It's different timelines and different scenarios that she has no idea why she's being shown that. Most of the time, she said, it goes back to Egyptian time period. And then she said, it's really amazing because the Egyptian time period then will oftentimes pull forward hieroglyphics, and she'll see the actual alphabets and or artwork from the actual ancient times. You know how we see those with glyphs and writing and pictorials, and all of those things will be very, very clear. And she said sometimes she can sit there and find herself immersed in this stuff and then literally come back to consciousness, and sometimes it can have been 30 minutes have gone by when she doesn't quite even know where she is. So basically out of body, obviously. And she's starting to get very concerned because she feels like she can't control this, and she A, doesn't even know what it is, B, doesn't know why it's happening to her, C, doesn't know what she's supposed to do with it, and then mostly D, she's getting a very concerned because she feels like she can't so-called control what's happening around her. And that is a very scary thing when we feel like we don't have control of our own meat body, much less our emotion and mental body. It's really difficult for us because we start to indeed feel like we're losing our marbles. So if you take a peek on my blog, if ever interested, many, many, many people are having all kinds of bizarre experiences, seeing things differently, having lights, having voices, having, dead people, having body reactions, etc. Because we are indeed in the midst of this ascension process, which means that our dimensional lines, our planes of reality, are really shifting and changing, and the actual designated boundaries of those timelines, for example, are really becoming thin veils, if we want to use that wording. And we are, whether we like it or not, many of us are traversing these timelines and starting to really experience a holographic universe with not a lot of context. And the reason that I'm sharing a lot of these crazy stories is because they're not crazy. We are indeed experiencing these things. Now, that said, not everybody is doing it, obviously, but a lot of us are experiencing, you know, losing our so-called ground, meaning our connection to 3D here, and finding ourselves traversing situations, scenes, faces, beings, lifetimes, and lots of times voices and messages. The really super cool part about her is when she's seeing a lot of these glyphs and or scenes from other times, she said, then it's almost like the energy comes together and it like creates this almost like sparkly sort of trail and burns in oftentimes to the ground or into the scene, actual message. And sometimes the wording is one or two words and sometimes it's a whole sentence, and it is literally giving her messaging. And a lot of times she has no idea what she's supposed to be doing with that messaging. And sometimes it directly pertains to what she's dealing with in the day. Like it tells her to, you know, move forward, or it tells her to just relax, or it tells her to, you need to let go of something or whatever. And I think that it is so amazing the way that this is happening for this woman. And she, of course, this is what all humans do, thinks she's supposed to be doing something with this. And another thing humans do, I'm supposed to be doing this for other people. And she was very concerned on how or why and what she's supposed to do for other people. And this is so typical of what I see when people come into my office. Every single one of us humans, for some reason, thinks that we're on this earth to help everybody else. Now, of course we are. This is part of being a human. We are supposed to be here for oneness and helping and compassion and support for humanity and our other meat bodies walking around this earth. But I think what's so important is before we even worry about that, we need to understand, what are these gifts doing for me first? What is this gift? How do I hone this gift? How do I make it about me first? And again, this is understanding the word selfishness in a different way, because we need to understand how to do our own energy field first. And I don't want to use the word control, because it's not really what I'm saying. It's more like maintain my energy field first and really be able to work from a divinely grounded field so that I am maintaining my love fuel and that I'm not doing it egoically when I work on behalf of other people. If I'm not grounded and if I'm not doing my own work first, and I'm so concerned about giving and making other people feel better and doing this for them, that's working in really imbalanced ego. And we want to work in a balanced ego for compassion and empathy, not the imbalanced. So this is very, very typical. When I started doing healing work also, it's like, oh, I'm supposed to fix everybody. And I got my humble bitch slap years ago from the universe that said, oh, hey, Suzanne, you are literally only the channel. The fixing doesn't happen. The allowing to be fixed comes from that client, comes from that person. And it doesn't have to be a client. It can be a family, a friend, somebody that you know, somebody that you're meeting in the store. I mean, we are continually healing and sharing healing energy, all of us. You don't have to be a practitioner. But we're definitely not fixing anybody. We're offering the energy of healing. We're offering the energy of love, but that other person is the one who indeed is choosing to bring that into their existence and reality and choosing to move forward in a different way. So that humble bitch slap I got years ago about being the healer and the one and all that ego stuff really, really, really put that into focus for me. So when a client comes into me And begins that whole, you know, dialogue of, I'm supposed to be doing this for everybody else. I really, really highly suggest they put the brakes on and figure out how to do it for themselves first and really rework that narrative of what selfish is. Amazingly, this particular gal, it's funny because I said, you know, when I'm looking at you, I see an archetype, and a lot of times I will sit with a client and I will see who they are in kind of a model way, kind of a instruction set way, and that's what we would call an archetype. There's many, many, many different kinds of archetypes. There's the caregiver, there's the warrior, there's the lover, there's the all kinds of things. But funny enough, when I see a client, I oftentimes see a projection in their holographic field of what their archetype is, meaning how their energy runs and how they attack life or experience life itself. And when she sat down, she looked so much to me like Walt Disney's fairy godmother. And then she, God forbid, started to tell this story about how she sees this writing. And then I started to laugh and I said, you are, literally, you're the fairy godmother. It's like you use this Disney princess wand, and that's how she sees the actual writing come forward. So the irony of that was super funny. You know, so think about it, the Disney fairy godmother, like for example in Cinderella, when she takes that magic wand, and Disney oftentimes will have it trailing along through the, you know, through the whatever on the ground and the sky to create, you know, the pumpkin turns into the actual carriage kind of a thing. She literally sees the writing from these hieroglyphics turn into words very much like that same Disney trail of sparkly, and it turns into writing and words. So it makes me giggle sometimes on how really seriously we hold these archetypes, and it will determine how my 3D existence plays out as well. And in this particular client's situation, she indeed started laughing when I said, you are literally like the fairy godmother, that you want everybody to have a happy ending. And she, and again, I don't know this woman, remember? And she starts laughing and she said, oh my God, that's exactly me. I want everyone to be happy. I want my kids to be happy. I want my friends to be happy. I want my coworkers to be happy. I want the entire world to be happy. I am constantly trying to fix everything and make everything be happy. Now, this is exactly what we do with our archetypes. We become that archetype in 3D, and it can drive us in a negative and or positive way. Obviously, it's positive that we want people to be happy, but the negative side of being the fairy godmother is that I'm pushing my truth on you because I'm deciding what I believe your happy ending is. It is coming from my ego in terms of when I have a child or a friend or a partner and I want to see you happy. Remember, this is coming through my individual personalized lens of what I believe happy entails. And this is actually a very, very selfish way to work our ego. And we all do this. This woman is no different than most of us walking around Earth in terms of we push our own agenda on people all day long. But when we're doing that archetypal kind of like thought process 24/7 of being the fairy godmother, wanting everyone to have the happy ending, this can be very dangerous for our field, and it can really be a detriment to our relationships. People have the right to go through their own struggles. People have the reason that they're here, they have the ability to co-create their own existence. And we really have no right to infringe upon that by trying our best to make it different. Because ultimately what we're doing is we are asking them to change so that we are the one that feels more comfortable. It's not necessarily really honoring the fact that they may or may not be existing in a reality that is comfortable for them or for whatever, but it's our comfort zone that is threatened, and that's why we push upon them our so-called happy ending for them. So this is, it's pretty common with a lot of people, and oftentimes women, I hate to genderize this, but mothering, you know, the world to death in terms of thinking that our mothering skills are actually assisting. Now, that doesn't mean that we say, screw you, do whatever you want, and I don't care what's happening in your life, good, bad, or ugly. That's not what I'm saying in any way, shape, or form. Of course, we still want to I don't know, support, cheerlead, be there for them. You know, maybe even tell them our two cents or our vision on what their happy ending could be. But it is the energetic cord of hanging on to that energy brought forward. It is the energetic cord of the conditionalized love or truth that is hurting both sides of the coin, or both people and both realities, because it's that kind of a energy leak that really busts through both auras, and it's called energy transference, and we both lose. It's a lose-lose situation. So amazingly, with this particular gal, we talked a lot about how she could change that in her 3D world, but we went back full circle, and she still was very confused on why this is happening to her. What does this mean? Now, a lot of people do not understand necessarily that we live in what would be called holographic architecture. And if this resonates for you, as I keep going, great. If it doesn't, maybe just listen or let it go. But what we live in is vibrational frequencies and sound layers that are all working simultaneously, because indeed there is really only one big pot of soup. There is no time, technically speaking. It is a point of perception or a point of reality. And when she is tapping into these Egyptian time periods or future time periods or all across the board simultaneous time periods, it is because of the fact that time technically does not exist if we look at it from a standpoint of energy. It is like a frequency bandwidth, and that frequency is vibrating at a certain layer or level, and that creates that what we would perceive quotient of time. And so when somebody like her is gifted with this ability to change the story, or, you know, change the ending, or have the ability to write a narrative about, you know, life itself, we have choices. We can ignore this gift. We can, you know, think we're crazy. We can do anything we want to with it. But I was trying to help her understand, on a bigger scope, instead of worrying about everybody's happy ending down here in 3D, she has the ability to go into what we would call the architecture of the overall creational reality. If we think about each of those timelines has a logos is the actual word, but it's also called like a blueprint of reality. That blueprint of reality is not that much different than a blueprint for a home or a house. If I have a blueprint of a room that says it has two windows, one that's built, it has two windows. So when we have architecture of reality, we have lots and lots of literal blueprints of how our bodies work, how our world works, how our consciousness works. And we have layers and layers of these blueprints. And when somebody has a gift such as this client, if they start to understand that concept, they can, if they choose, then start to utilize that gift in different ways. I oftentimes, to explain this to a client, use the actual tragedy of the story of 9/11, because it's an easy kind of a metaphor. And I told her, for example, if you are a energy worker that can go into the timelines and write different endings to that story using your fairy godmother words that, you know, like I said, her wand, you know, twirls and spins and has words come out. That's how she sees this information. So I said, be in charge of that fairy godmother wand and go into that grid pattern and actually change some of the endings. Because of the reason we want to do this is because then there are more endings available in that collective consciousness. So back to 9/11, for example, I told her years and years ago when that happened, I also work in architecture. So what I do, it's a different form of prayer. I go into that architecture and I meditatively put different endings in. I meditatively put into that architecture different potentialities for timelines. I put in a potentiality that, you know, it never happened, period. It wasn't even formulated. I put in another one that maybe says that, you know, the men were caught at the airport. I put in another one that says they were figured out in flight and it didn't happen. I put another one in that says, you know, it totally, the bomb didn't go off, and on it goes. So they put these different potentialities and different storyline endings into the what we would call the grid pattern or the holographic blueprint, because it is important. And why is it important? Because when we work in energy, like finds like, and it will gravitate towards the most frequently used are frequently tapped into energy signature. And when we have something like a 9/11, we work in so much fear, mostly because of the media, and all we do is see it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And we continue to do this as a media outlet, by the way, even every anniversary, every everything. We replay those situations, those tapes, those visions on TV. All that does is reignite the same fear pattern over and over in that grid pattern. And that brings forward and locks in more potentiality for something similar to happen, because the law of attraction takes consciousness and it like finds like. And so a holographic architect worker puts in purposefully, in a loving manner, all kinds of different endings so that the diversion process, it kind of like spreads out the potentialities, and it doesn't have a big fat bucket of fear that automatically says more terrorism, because this is exactly why we have copycat things happen. Yes, they happen in 3D, but the energy of the consciousness supports that system because we keep uploading and rebooting all the time in the architecture the same scenario over and over and over again, just like hit and replay and reboot on the TV. So I was explaining to this gal that her gift of restorying is much more beneficial when we are talking on a collective prayer basis, when we are working that new storyline on behalf of the all, on behalf of consciousness itself, on behalf of the future, on behalf of rewriting the past. This is a way better place, in my opinion, and again, my opinion, a way better place to place that gift. And then the really great part is we have no condition attached to that, which is then training my body as the worker to not hold conditions. When she does it in 3D, she is forever looking for conditions attached. And that is that cord and that interpenetrating other people's auric field. When I'm waiting to see if my suggestion was taken, if you listened to my truth and changed your mind, if I said this and you actually did it, those are all conditional forms of communication and love, and they are very detrimental to both fields. When we work in the holographic multi-universe grid patterns, we don't have that ability necessarily in the same way to hang on to those auric cords, because we're working in the grid patterns, and we don't need to, you know, sit at home and wonder, oh, you know, what's going to happen, because I put in, you know, multiple endings, multiple realities, multiple storylines, and I'm releasing that for the actual collective consciousness of humanity and all of the planes of existence to choose. And it's a different way of looking at what I would call prayer. And a lot of us think prayer, you know, is getting down on our knees and reciting the same words that we learned in Catholic school or church and when, you know, when we were children. And I'm not knocking that. If that's your thing, great. But prayer is also a vibrational frequency of thought pattern, which goes vertical, and an emotional pattern, which then goes horizontal. So if we go vertical, vertical, horizontal, horizontal, over and over again, it creates what we would call a grid pattern. And so it is really important for us, if we choose, obviously, to kind of look at our gifts and not think we're crazy and not necessarily feel uncomfortable that we have something that is unique and special. Because we are all unique and special. And at the very same time, no one is unique and special. And that's that really weird dichotomy thing. We are all the same and we are all completely different. And our gifts are all meant to do something on behalf of our existence here. And we get to choose on how to play with that. So it was really fun to work with this gal because, again, she's being an RN and a nurse in Western medicine, so logical, so having to make sense. So, you know, oh, it has to fit into the Western box. And yet a huge part of her existence doesn't give a crap, which I loved. And she totally admits the fact that she can see, you know, Egyptian hieroglyphics come to life and dance and tell her stories. So I think archetypes are important to also analyze. Fairy godmother archetype, what do you want to do with that? Change the world in a bigger way instead of worrying about your kid or your neighbor. So again, hopefully if this resonates. Great. If you have a gift like that, maybe think about going into the architecture of reality. And if this is way over your head in terms of something that makes sense to you, maybe just take this one for entertainment value. But we all have gifts and we all can change the world, even one single human being at a time. So until next, cosmic hugs.